The animals are the ones that have homes.
Oh my gosh.
The human beings don't have homes.
Whoa.
If you want to be a follower of me, the divinely appointed caliph, know that I don't have a home. I am a king who has been dethroned. I don't have a state. This whole earth was given to me by my father. You can't be a person who has homes like they do and enjoy the state of the devil and at the same time also enjoy the kingdom of God or the divine just state. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear sister and companion Tiffany.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear father.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me here.
So today we're going to have a discussion concerning the obligation that the disciples or those who wanted to follow Jesus had to live up to. We have in the Bible itself this amazing story of the Messiah who comes to the Jewish people. And he comes to them and he has this message that he seeks to propagate, right? Mm-hmm. And the people, even though they had been waiting for the Messiah since a very long time, when he came, they didn't recognize him as such. And so there is this tale that is taking place in the Gospels. It is highlighting this three-year period from the time that Jesus is anointed and he goes forward, from the time that he's appointed and he begins to preach his gospel, make his da'wah, call people to support him, to the end of the 3 years of his ministry when the event of the crucifixion happens. And so the tale is one of the shortcomings of the people, their inability to recognize and understand him, and one of that gives us insight into how to be proper believers to support the divinely appointed man or the divinely appointed caliph or successor from God if we do want to establish a divine just state. So in essence, Jesus had come to the Jews. He wanted to establish a divine just state. He wasn't able to establish a divine just state. The reason why he wasn't able to establish a divine just state is not the fault of Jesus, without a shadow of a doubt. He wasn't the shortcomer here. Rather, the shortcomer were the believers. He did not find at that time people who were capable or worthy enough or knew how to support him. And so they shortcomed in that. And for that reason, in the Bible, he makes it very clear that, you know, his kingdom is not of this earth, is not of this time, because in that time, he didn't have people that were willing to support him. And these shortcomings are consistent throughout the Bible. They appear time and time again. And we could go on a whole series of episodes, which we might throughout the course of the coming period. Every now and then we'll go back to this topic and we'll kind of highlight some of those qualities and traits and things that are necessary for the believer to do in order to be successful in his mission to support the divinely appointed caliph, and so that he would have fulfilled his rights towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger. And we'll highlight things, but the Bible itself is filled with it. You have the shortcoming of the disciples when they would object to certain things that Jesus would say and they thought that they knew better. We have the shortcomings of the disciples when they ran away at the time of the arrest of Jesus and they didn't fight in order to, and they weren't willing to sacrifice their lives in order to protect the life of the Spirit of Allah in their time. We find that the disciples, time and time again, when they were given a particular mission from Jesus, even ones that were so important as to like stay up throughout the night in order to watch over him, you find them that they fell asleep and they shortcomed in that. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look in Luke chapter 9. We're going to do a short reading together. The reading is at the very end of Luke chapter 9 in the section that they usually title The Cost of Following Jesus.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied and said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now we have at the end of the chapter, in this section that's titled The Cost of Following Jesus, the example of three individuals. Each and every one of them have a different conversation with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The first one says to Jesus, as he's walking down the road with his disciples, he says to him that he wants to follow him and he's willing to go wherever Jesus goes. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to, like true believers should, not read over the verses in the Bible with a blank mind, without contemplation. And the Quran always has verses that reminds the believer or the Muslim to contemplate over the words of God. If we truly believe that these are the words of God, then we have to contemplate them. And the verses say things such as, do they not have minds to contemplate, or do they not have minds to think? Do they not see a comparing certain people that carry the books on top of their backs without thinking that their likeness is the likeness of a donkey that's carrying on top of its back the Torah, or people that are blind, mute, and deaf. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
So what takes place in this incident? He wants to follow Jesus. He says to him, "Jesus, I'm willing to go with you wherever you go." That's a beautiful start. I think that's a proper start. And we know that it's a proper start because Jesus didn't tell the man, "No, go away," actually.
Yeah.
So the stance that the man had was a good one. But there were conditions. There was information that the man had to know before Jesus would accept him. He doesn't tell him, "Okay, just go ahead and walk with us now." He says to him, "Wait a moment." He says to him, "The foxes, they have homes. The birds also have homes. But the Son of Man..." The Son of Man means what? Ibn Adam,
Yeah. The
Bani Adam, a human being, mm-hmm. The human being, himself, Jesus, the true human being, has nowhere to lay his head.
Yeah, he's homeless.
He's homeless. He has no home.
Yeah.
And this reminds us of a narration from the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam that describes the companions of the Qa'im of also being homeless.
Yeah, carrying
their
homes.
That they wander around the earth.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And they do what?
They carry their homes on their back.
And so we have this hadith describing the companions of the Qa'im in the exact same way that Jesus is describing his true companions. Both are homeless. Now, if we contemplate over the reasoning and the words, we find that Jesus is saying that the animals are the ones that have homes.
Oh my gosh.
The human beings don't have homes.
Whoa. Whoa.
And that reminds us of a narration that says that the believer has nothing except humiliation in the state of Iblis. But when it's the state of Adam, the believer is honored and he has peace and he has rest and he has comfort. But he only gets tired and he gets oppression, he gets abuse in the state of Iblis. It's the animals that enjoy the state of Iblis, because the animals are the human beings that are the likenesses of animals. And those are the true foxes and birds that Jesus was referring to.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I would have never thought to contemplate this verse in that way. And wow. Makes
so
more sense.
Jesus is making it a stipulation, and he's saying, if you want to be a follower of me, the divinely appointed caliph, know that I don't have a home. I am a king who has been dethroned. I don't have a state. This whole earth was given to me by my father. God said, verily, we're making a caliph in the land. God said that he did not send a messenger except to be obeyed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed David. This man, Jesus Christ, is the son of David, the successor of David, the appointed king who's supposed to be ruling. His home is supposed to be the throne of Jerusalem and the house which rules all of the Israelites. His house is from the house of David. And yet he finds himself without a home, being treated, being outcast, worse than the animals, while all the other human beings or animals that are in human form are enjoying those things which were meant for all those people that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the divinely appointed caliph. And so he says that if you want to follow me, then you're going to be a victim like me. You can't be a person who has homes like they do and enjoy the state of the devil and at the same time also, you know, enjoy the kingdom of God or the divine just state. You can't serve two masters. And this is confirmed by another incident in the Bible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where he says that a heart cannot love two things, you can't serve two masters. Yes,
exactly.
That's from Jesus.
That's when the man came to him and he asked him about how it is that I can follow you. And Jesus says, well, you have to sell all your belongings and give it to the poor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So the poor and the weak, the meek will inherit the earth, right?
Yeah.
So the people that are oppressed, the weak, the poor, the ones who suffer in the state of the devil, those are the ones whom enjoy in the divine just state. And Jesus and the Caliph of Allah, until they are enabled and until they have a divine just state, they have no home. Jesus is telling the man, essentially, there's something even deeper and greater here in this message. He's telling the believer who wishes to follow him that actually you owning a house right now is haram.
Yeah.
It's impermissible. You can't. It's not true faith. It's disbelief. To own a home in this devilish world, it's not possible. If you want to follow me, you have to first get rid of your home. And you have to make your home the earth like I am, and you have to wander like me. You have to carry your home on the back like the narrations described.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Yeah, I think that it's really important to think deeply on the words of Jesus, as you said, because it's not just him saying you have to be homeless, but it's taking it a step further and saying that actually having a home and taking part in this worldly system is rejection of him as king. And the only way to actually be a true follower of him is to be like him.
Exactly. Then another man is seen. This man this time doesn't approach Jesus. He is somebody who seems like he's shortcoming more than the first man. this man, Jesus is the one that has to tell him, follow me.
Okay.
So the first man wants to follow Jesus. The second man is told to follow Jesus. And I think this is really important because perhaps somebody might think to themselves, okay, well, you know, I can't live up to that. So I'm just not going to be of that caliber of believers that will follow Jesus. And Jesus, you know, instantly corrects that type of thinking by showing that it is an obligation actually upon all people that they do follow Jesus. Even the man who wasn't interested in approaching Jesus to say, I want to follow you, is told and approached by Jesus, and it's said to him, follow me.
Well, it's an obligation on all
people. It's an obligation.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's clear. Yeah.
The man responds back and says what? He says, okay, Jesus, I will follow you. But first, I'm in the middle of something horrible. My dad passed away. You know, just give me a day, give me a day or two. Let me just go back to my family. Let me just bury my dad, go through the funeral, and I will be with you.
It's an excuse.
Well, I mean, the man said that he's going to come.
Yeah.
He just needs a little bit of time, you know. Right? Isn't it the religion of humanity? Isn't it Jesus is humane? Shouldn't he care about these types of affairs? Well, Jesus says, not really. Actually, Jesus says, no. He says to him, let the dead bury the dead. And you go forth and preach the gospel. Were the words for the kingdom of God. So now we have important insight that we have to contemplate over in the words of Jesus. Even if your mother or your father, your brother or your sister, your son or your daughter had passed away, to put going to their funeral or burying them ahead of the mission at hand of supporting the caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is unacceptable in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And it's shortcoming.
Yeah.
Why is it shortcoming though? Jesus answers also that in the sentence when he says that it's because you are basically going to hang out with the dead.
Yes, the dead, bury the dead. That's a very interesting way of wording it.
And now we know that the only people that are alive are the ones that are actually doing the works of God, the workers for God, not just the believers. The believers, they might be believers, but they're dead too.
Wow.
The believers whom are alive and are filled with life are only those believers whom are actively working towards establishing the kingdom of God. The people who are not are spiritually dead.
Wow.
Their faith is not enough. They don't have life inside of them. They're preoccupied with worldly affairs. The body that they seek to bury has no life in it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's not worthy that we utilize and spend our living moments on them. And at the same time, those people who do spend their time on dead things are dead themselves.
It's a heavy teaching, but it's also clear. And Jesus is always throughout the Gospels saying that he is the way to life and he's the source of life. And that it just makes sense because he is the caliph of God. He is the only one who is like gathering the people to work towards creating this divine just state. And that's the only way to have life.
Yeah. And I think that it's very important to note because it's the comparison that's important, Tiffany. The comparison of the person who's preoccupied with something with the thing that he's preoccupied with. So somebody who's preoccupied with the dead, he is also dead. You get it?
Yeah.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, he said that this whole world, right, is like the carcass of a dead dog. So all those people who are preoccupied with this world are nothing more than dead dogs too. Wow. Do you understand?
Yes.
There were comparisons that were drawn between the dunya and between a vein of a swine, right, or a pig. And those people who are preoccupied with their worldly life are no better than their swine, even if their tongues declare faith in the caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the bar is extremely high. In the first example, it was already high. The person has to have no home and be homeless if they want to follow Jesus, right?
Yeah.
The second example, the bar gets lifted even higher. Even if you have a family member who's dead, you can't go back to bury him. You have to cut off all love and attachment to the dunya and the people of the dunya in order to successfully follow the caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It makes perfect sense. And it also reminds me of that speech where Jesus is saying, the one who loves his father or his mother or his daughter or his brother or sister more than me is not worthy of me. So
exactly. And those who lose a father or a mother or a daughter or a son or a brother or sister or a friend, because of that, they will regain in their place a hundredfold of brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and grandparents, etc., amongst the believers and in the kingdom of God. Then we come to the third example. And there we have a man who is now speaking with Jesus. And he too faces a dilemma. He wants to follow Jesus, but at the same time, he says, okay, I'm willing to sell the house. I'm willing not to bury the dead, but I just want one thing. He just wants to be able to say goodbye to his family. Okay? Because now he got struck with this test all of a sudden. He realized that, like, okay, yeah, the Hajj is here. I wasn't expecting him to be here. He came. Now I do have to follow him. I do have to be with him for the rest of my life. I'm not going to be seeing my family again, but I just want a little bit of time. I just need to go back and say goodbye. Yeah. Jesus says to him, anybody who picks up their plow, so imagine like a farmer, mm-hmm. once you're in the field and you pick up your tool to start working the ground, anybody who does that and then just merely looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That means that any regrets, any looking back, any wanting to say goodbye, any wanting or missing the old life, any hesitation about full dedication to the mission at hand disqualifies you from being a true worker in the service of God and puts you back into the category of being a wolf or a bird.
Huh.
So this is the cost of following Jesus. Now, would you consider these to be commandments of Jesus? Are these rules that he established? Are these things that he told us that we have to do? Certainly it is. And there is really no difference between those commandments of Jesus or any other commandment that he gives us throughout the Bible. Because Jesus is a messenger from God. He's the Spirit of God. We believe that he's alive. We believe that his words are alive. We believe that the gospel, like the Quran and the Torah, is alive, that it's the truths that are in there are applicable for every day and age, and they're not limited to one particular time period. If they were limited to one particular time period, then that would mean that parts of the gospel are dead and they're inapplicable today. And that would mean that we would need something else to replace it for this day and age. And that would mean that it's not actually the words of God, because the words of God would never die, right?
Right.
And so in order to fulfill these commandments of Jesus, We have to find the Jesus of our time and our age. And we have to be with the Jesus of our age, or the messenger of God in our age, and do with him what the people were incapable of doing with Jesus in that time. The examples that were left for us in the Gospels serve as kind of like a map or a guide or a handbook, so to speak, so that the people that come in the future are able to do and fulfill those things that the people were incapable of doing in the time of Jesus Christ himself.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's important, the parallels between the mission that Jesus had to fulfill and the time in which we're living and the opportunity that we have to support the climb, to support the riser, they're one and the same. It's basically a repeat of the same situation and the same opportunity. And now it's up to us as followers to not shortcome and to not fail, as we have all these examples of the people who had failed before us.
Exactly. And that brings us to the day and the time and the age that we're in, and what it is that we're looking for. What are the qualities that we are looking for in believers? If we are really looking to establish a divine just state, you have right now in the world what is taking place. You have right now in the world a group of fanatics, Muslim extremists, that are getting ready to establish what it is that they already established about a decade ago when ISIS and these terrorist forces came into power. A bunch of people from all over the world, they rushed to Syria, and they established a state over there. Their state was a state of the devil. It collapsed very fast because of the terror and the tyranny that they were conducting, and the murders and the heinous crimes that they were doing in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we saw that they were dedicated to their cause. They were willing to leave their mothers and fathers and not say goodbye and disappear in the middle of the night. And we saw that they were willing to basically sell their homes and put in all their funds in this cause that they had in order to establish a state. We saw that they were willing to not go back for their mother and their father's funerals in order that they may abide and live and relocate and marry in their state that they had over there. And so if the agents of the devil and if the agents of terror are willing to do that and pay that price in order to establish their state, then what should the children of God and the messengers of peace and prosperity and the people of the light, what should they do in order to establish a divine just state, a state where peace and equity and freedom and prosperity is established for all mankind? There has to be a beginning to that, and there has to be people that are around the divine just the divine messenger that are willing to pay the price that all the forces of darkness are willing to pay and more. And for that reason, a divine just state was the narration state that nobody was able to establish one, not from the time of Adam all the way until this very day, because the prophets and the messengers, they lacked the proper support. The imams lacked the proper support. You have the narration of Harun al-Makki, right? The incident that took place with Imam Sadiq and the Khurasani, whereby Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he is approached by a man from Khurasan. And the man from Khurasan enters upon Imam Sadiq and tells him, he says to him that, you know, you have tons of supporters. You have tons of supporters, tens of thousands of them, 100,000 of them that are Shia, that are followers of you, Imam Sadiq. Like, why are you not rising and establishing a state? Well, at that very moment after he asked that question, a man walked in the room. His name was Harun al-Mekki. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam tells him to go light up the oven. He lights up the oven and then he commands Harun in front of the Khurasani to go sit in the oven. Harun al-Mekki goes and he sits inside of the fire without question, without fear, in total peace and calm, just like Abraham. And he wasn't being burnt by the fire. And he turned over and he looks at the Khurasani. The Khurasani's face had went pale and white. He didn't know what to say. And Imam Sadiq asks the Khurasani, how many people like this man do you have in Khurasan from our Shia? The man says, not a single one. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replies and says, well, that's the reason why. We know best the time. If we are to establish a divine just state, we would need Shia of this sort. People that are willing to obey without hesitation. People that are in a state of total and complete submission. He showed the Khurasani that all of those 100,000 so-called Shia that he referred to, that none of them were true believers and none of them were worth anything, including the Khurasani himself. But the true Shia has to be the likes of Harun al-Mekki and has to be the likes of the people that were described, or people that live up to those expectations and those conditions that Jesus had set in the last verses of Luke chapter 9. They are people that are willing to give up their homes, sell their properties, and give it to the cause, just like the disciples did in the book of Acts. And that's precisely why that next generation, after the passing of Christ or the incident of the crucifixion or when Jesus was raised to the heavens, the next generation after that or the companions after that, they learned from their mistakes and they began to go back and look at the words of Jesus. And then they upheld those commandments that they didn't uphold in the time of Jesus. And that's why they were able to establish eventually, you know, that which they couldn't do during the time of Jesus. And that is convert the entire Roman Empire. And for many years, there were pockets or time periods where before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and after Constantine made the Roman Empire, the Holy Roman Empire, and adopted the religion of Christianity, there were time periods where there were really just kings that ruled over certain areas of the empire that basically allowed the Christians to live in a divine just state. And there were messengers or successors of Jesus that lived and ruled certain areas between those two time periods, and they really did establish a small, mini, divine, just state for the believers to be in. But the believers had to live up to the level and the commitments that Jesus had set for them. And so that's the type of people that we are looking for. We're looking for people that are willing to sell their homes and to come and be amongst the community and to follow me. We're looking for people that are not going to waver or want to leave once they've come. We want people that love the Dao and love the truth and love Imam al-Mahdi and have a love and a willingness to sacrifice it all to establish a divine just state and be part of this divine story where the hopes of all of the prophets and the messengers were poured into and their efforts.
Wow. I mean, I think that that's a really empowering message. As a believer, it puts a lot of the power in our hands, actually puts all of the power in our hands, that the divine just state is a matter just waiting to be established, that what is needed is support, true support, people who are willing to live up to their promises and the stipulations put forth that we see in the Gospels that are needed to be a true supporter. And the power is in our hands now to be that support for you.
Indeed it is. Well, God bless you, Tiffany, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Father, for having me, and I can't wait to learn more from you in the future.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.